Now, I'm fairly certain that we left off on the paragraph that begins, when this was over, the prince sent again for the elders of the town. Is that right? I'm going to check on that before I proceed. When this was over, and of course the this that he's talking about is Emmanuel having imparted to the town of Mansoul a new charter, and the specific details of that charter, and what a joy and rejoicing. The paragraph before this tells us what great joy and comfort and consolation they derived. Bells were rung and minstrels played and people shouted and the colors were waved and trumpets blew and the town was so happy at the declaration of this new covenant, this new charter. And then Bunyan says, when this was over, the prince sent again for the elders of the town of Mansoul and communed with them about a ministry that he intended to establish among them, such a ministry that might open unto them and that might instruct them in the things that did concern their present and future state. Now, we're going to read on here, but I'd ask you, some of you gentlemen, to get scripture text for us. I want you to look those up again for me and hold on to them. Be ready to read them. One of them was Jeremiah 10:23, whomever I gave that to, and then 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, whoever had that one. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, and the other get 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, and then somebody else, maybe Mr. E&D, maybe you could get 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And somebody else get 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. As I said to you before, we don't always look at the scripture texts that are in this particular edition of the Holy War, but these are so significant I wanted us not to miss them. All right, we'll continue with the reading. So, when that was over, he sent to the elders of the town of Mansoul and communed with them about a ministry that he intended to open unto them, is the way Bunyan put it. For, said he, you of yourselves, unless you have teachers and guides, will not be able to know, and if not to know, to be sure not to do the will of my Father. Except you have teachers and guides, you're not going to be able to do or even know the will of my Father. Somebody read Jeremiah 10:23.
O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in his will, but it is not in man to walk in the
steps. It is not in a man to direct his own steps. We know that it's not in him. All right, 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. Okay, the natural man does not receive them. So this is Bunyan's biblical demonstration of the statement that he has made from the lips of Emmanuel. You men will not be able in and of yourselves to know and do my Father's will. So, thus, he's going to establish this ministry, Bunyan calls it, to them. At this news, when the elders of Mansoul brought it to the people, the whole town came running together, for it pleased them well, as whatever the prince now did pleased the people. And all with one consent implored his majesty that he would forthwith establish such a ministry among them as might teach them both law and judgment, statute and commandment, that they might be documented in all good and wholesome things. So he told them that he would grant them their request and would establish two among them. Two. One that is of his father's court, and one that was a native of man's soul. He that is from the court, said he, is a person of no less quality and dignity than my father and I, and he is the Lord Chief Secretary of my father's house. For he is and always has been the chief dictator of all my father's laws, a person altogether well skilled in all mysteries and knowledge of mysteries, as is my father, or as myself is. Indeed, he is one with us in nature, and also as to loving of and being faithful to and in the eternal concerns of the town of Mansoul. And this is he, said the prince, that must be your chief teacher, for it is he and he only that can teach you clearly in all high and supernatural things. Now, read us 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Okay, so the prophecy of old time came not but as men were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's Bunyan's proof that he is, and always was the chief teacher of the things of God. Now, somebody get 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. Right. So, Bunyan is on solid biblical footing here in his description of this Lord Chief Secretary, at whose hands all our teaching and understanding of the things of God must come from his hands. Bunyan is demonstrating the sound biblical footing for this new ministry, this new office that will be occupying man's soul. And then we go back to the reading. Scoot, if you'll get John 14:26 and hold on to that. And this is he, said the prince, that must be your chief teacher, for it is he and only he that can teach you clearly in all high and supernatural things. He and only he it is that knows the ways and methods of my father at court, nor can any like him show how the heart of my father is at all times and in all things upon all occasions toward man's soul. And didn't we hear that in the message this morning? For as no man knows the things of a man, but that spirit of a man which is in him, so the things of my Father knows no man, but this his high and mighty secretary. Nor can any as he tell man's soul how and what they shall do to keep themselves in the love of my Father. He also it is that can bring lost things to your remembrance, and that can tell you things to come. John 14:26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send in my name, who shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Teach you and remind you. Teach you and remind you. These are the offices that this secretary is going to serve, and Bunyan again stands clearly on sound biblical footing. This teacher, therefore, must of necessity have the preeminence both in your affections and judgments, before your other teacher. His personal dignity, the excellency of his teaching, also the great dexterity that he had to help you to make and draw up petitions to my Father for your help and to his pleasing, must lay obligations upon you to love him, fear him, and take heed that you grieve him not. We heard again, didn't we hear that just this morning in the message? Our obligation to love him, to obey him, and not to grieve him. Now, if you gentlemen would take again, Scoot, take 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, and 6, and if you would, Ian, if you would take Jude 20, and E and D, if you take Ephesians 6, 18, we'll read some of these verses for this next paragraph. Let's read the paragraph. This person can put life and vigor into all he says, yea, and can also put it into your heart. This person can make seers of you and can make you tell what shall be hereafter. By this person you must frame all your petitions to my Father and me, and without his advice and counsel first obtained, let nothing enter into the town or castle of man's soul, for that may disgust and grieve this noble person. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6. 1, 5, and 6.
For our gospel came not unto you with word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, as much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us in the glory, having received the word in much affliction.
So he is able to put his word into your heart. Jude 20.
But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying.
Building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Bunyan says here, don't make any, he is able to help you frame all your petitions, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always what?
Praying always with all prayer and supplication.
Right.
Watching there and do with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Right, right. So, by the Holy Spirit, this secretary, will be able to enable us to frame our petitions. I like that expression. Frame our petitions. I'm afraid many of my petitions lacking framework. But he can frame our petitions. Then he says, take heed, I say, that you do not grieve this minister. For if you do, he may fight against you. And should he once be moved by you to set himself against you in battle array, that will distress you more than if 12 legions should, from my Father's court, be sent to make war upon you. How well most of us believers know experientially the truth of that statement. If you get him set against you, life will be hard for you indeed. But as I said, if you shall hearken unto him, and shall love him, And if you shall devote yourselves to his teachings, and shall seek to have converse and to maintain communion with him, you shall find him 10 times better than is the whole world to any. Yea, he will shed abroad the love of my Father in your hearts, and man's soul will be the wisest and most blessed of all people. If you simply, what did he say? Hearken to him, love him, and devote yourselves to his teaching. Then did the prince call unto him the old gentleman, who before had been the recorder of man's soul, Mr. Conscience by name, and told him that for as much as he was well skilled in the law and government of the town of Mansoul, and by the way, why was that? Why was he well skilled? How is it he came to be well skilled in the law and government of the town of Mansoul? Because he was himself appointed, was he not, in creation. God created in man conscience. And so it was, he was the town recorder, which recorded the laws of Shaddai from the very beginning. And so therefore he is already well skilled in this matter of understanding the law and government of the town of Mansoul. And he said, since you are that, since that is your case, and also was also well spoken, and could pertinently deliver to them his master's will in all terrene and domestic affairs. Terrene simply means earthly, things to do with the earth. Since you are well spoken, you're very familiar, you're skilled in the law and government, you're well spoken, and you can deliver to them the master's will in all earthly and domestic matters. Therefore, he would also make him a minister for, in, and to the goodly town of Mansoul in all the laws, statutes, and judgments of the famous town of Mansoul. Now, conscience has received a commission. And thou must, said the prince, confine thyself. He's talking to the conscience now. Thou must confine thyself to the teaching of moral virtues, to civil and natural duties. But thou must not attempt to presume to be a revealer of those high and supernatural mysteries that are kept close in the bosom of Shaddai, my father. For those things knows no man, nor can any reveal them, but my father's secretary only. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal these truths from the Father. Conscience is there to execute or to declare, to speak to man's soul only in the laws of government, laws and government of this city, and certainly, yes, to speak to them and address to them the laws of Shaddai, but not to be a revealer of truths that are from above. You know, we have this expression, or we have in this country, we talk about, well, I'm just following my conscience. Well, being as we're fallen creatures, you better check that. Whatever that is, the conscience is not a law unto itself. You better check whatever the conscience seems to be dictating to you and compare it with the laws of our Father. He is not a revealer. He is not a revealer of unknown truths, the conscience. He's only there to speak and address to the man's soul to follow the laws of shadow. Thou art a native, he says to Mr. Conscience, thou art a native of the town of man's soul. Thou art a native, remember I said, from creation, in the creative work in Adam, there was this. Thou art a native of the town of man's soul, but the Lord's secretary is a native with my Father. Wherefore, as thou hast knowledge of the laws and customs of the corporation, so he of the things and will of my Father. This Bunyan is laboring here to keep this clear distinction between the conscience and the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, O Mr. Conscience, although I have made thee a minister and a preacher to the town of man's soul, yet as to the things which the Lord's secretary knoweth and shall teach to his people, there thou must be his scholar and a learner, even as the rest of man's soul are. Okay? Let's keep this clear distinction. As I said, it seemed to me, as I studied this again, this recent, for these classes, it seemed to me Bunyan somehow kind of stalled, could I say, here. He lingered here, seemingly as one of the places where he spent more time to be very, very direct and clear than in other places. He seems to want it to be made known clearly that our conscience is not a law from God. The conscience is only there to remind us of the law of God. But the law is to come from God, not from our own consciences. And Bunyan certainly seems to be laboring that point. He goes on. Thou must therefore, in all high and supernatural things, go to him for information and knowledge. For though there be a spirit in man, this person's inspiration must give him understanding. Whether, O thou Mr. Recorder, wherefore, O thou Mr. Recorder, keep low and be humble. And remember that the Diabolians that kept not their first charge, but left their own standing, are now made prisoners in the pit. Be therefore content with thy station. As I said, Bunyan certainly seems to be belaboring this matter of the conscience subservient to the Spirit of God. Berner said, admirably judicious is this charge to Reverend Mr. Conscience, ordained a preacher in man's soul. The office of conscience is to compare the heart and the walk of the Christian with the Word of God, and so to judge whether it be good or bad. But conscience is not to decide on the secret decrees of God, nor pretend to reveal new doctrines. Conscience is not the legislator, but the minister of the law, and must ever look up to the Holy Spirit for his teaching. Yet, conscience is here armed with great authority, and permitted to chastise the soul when it offends. But conscience itself needs purifying by the blood of Christ and refreshment also from the same source. In another place in Bunyan's writing, Chaplin records this brief treatment of Mr. Bunyan about conscience. He says, "Conscience hath its place in the soul, where it is as a judge to discern things good and bad and judge them accordingly. This conscience is that in which the law of nature, which is able to teach the Gentiles that sin against the law is sin against God." Now, this conscience, this nature itself, because it can control and chide for sin, who give ear to it, must it therefore be idolized and made a god of? Oh, wonderful thought! What men should make a god and a Christ of their conscience because they can convince, it can convince of sin? Thou sayest, he that convinces of sin, sins against the law, leads up to the fulfilling of the law. Friend, thy conscience convinces of sins against the law. Follow thy conscience, and it may lead thee under the curse of the law through its weakness. But it can never deliver thee from the curse of the law by its power. For if righteousness come by obedience to the law, or by thy conscience either, then Christ died in vain. So we never promote Mr. Conscience to a level not intended. Emmanuel goes on and says, "I have made thee my father's vice regent on earth." Wow, that's quite an office. "I have made thee my father's vice regent on earth in such things of which I have made mention before, and thou, take thou power to teach them to man's soul, yea, and to impose them with whips and chastisements, if they shall not willingly hearken to do thy commandments." And Mr. Recorder, because thou art old, and through many abuses made feeble, therefore I give thee leave and license to go when thou wilt to my fountain, my conduit, there to drink freely of the blood of my grape, for my conduit doth always run wine." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "My conduit doth always run wine." We'll stop there today and pick up again there next week.